2 Peter 3, verses 11 and 12. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? We'll stop there. Peter asks a very sensible question, and he asks the right question. The question is not first and foremost, what shall we do, but what kind of persons ought we to be? What we are is more important than what we do. And he gives a very simple outline answer, which contains three elements. He says, first of all, in all holy conduct and godliness. Secondly, he says, looking for. And thirdly, hastening the coming of the day of God. So there are three things that he speaks about. Holy conduct and godliness. Looking for the coming of the day of God. And hastening the coming of the day of God. That should be our basic response. Holiness, looking for the coming of the day of God, and hastening the coming of the day of God. And I will deal briefly with those. First of all, with regard to holiness, I'll just turn to one scripture, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 17, and continuing on into chapter 7, verse 1. And you need to bear in mind the chapter divisions were not in the original text. They were put in many, many centuries later by translators, and sometimes they obscure the sense. So we're going to start now with 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. And most of it is a quotation from the Old Testament. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So God makes a promise to be a father to all of us who fulfill his conditions. But bear in mind, there are conditions stated. And the first one is, come out from among them, that's the unbelievers, not the other Christians, but the unbelievers, and be separate, be set apart to God. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Now, there are many different ways we can touch what is unclean. But one very common way, which is a problem for nearly all of us, is by our mental attitudes and the things we entertain in our minds. And also the things we look at. Particularly, I would have to say, by my standards, a lot of television programs are unclean. And if we deliberately expose ourselves to them, we are touching what is unclean. If we can't help it, that's another matter. I don't say by no means that we never go to movies, but very seldom can Ruth and I go to movies because they're unclean. There was a movie some years back which was really excellent. It was called Frisco Kid. I don't suppose most of you will remember it. Some of you do? Yeah, all right. Well, it was really hilarious. I mean, it was so good. And it was based on the life of a young Jewish man who was due to become a rabbi and had to go to Los Angeles from Poland. I mean, it was so exact to the thinking of Jewish people. The story was excellent and the acting was outstanding. But in the middle of it, for no necessary reason at all, there was some absolutely filthy language. It had nothing to do with the plot. And Ruth and I said, well, I'd like to see that again. And incidentally, we saw it in Florida, and I think 80% of the congregation, or the audience, not congregation, well, it was like a congregation in a way, was at least 80% was Jewish, because we live in a thickly populated area by Jewish people. But eventually we said to one another, I don't feel free to expose the Holy Spirit in me to the kind of language that comes from that movie. That's a personal decision. But it's an example of what can mean, be meant by touching what is unclean. You don't have to. Do not expose yourself to things that will defile you mentally if you don't have to. Now, I got saved in the British Army, and I spent another 4.5 years in the Army. And you cannot help being exposed to things that are unclean in the Army. I mean, British soldiers are incapable of speaking without blaspheming and swearing unless they've been saved. So I heard that day after day for 4.5 years. But I did not expose myself to it. I couldn't avoid it. But I never deliberately, by the grace of God, I never deliberately exposed myself to something that will defile me. Being a preacher, I'm particularly careful, because I know that if I let anything into my mind, sooner or later it'll come out of my mouth when I'm preaching. I guard my mind. Ruth will bear me witness. I do not deliberately take anything into my mind that could corrupt the word of God that God has given me to proclaim. And I suggest that all of us need to consider, you don't need to take the same exact attitude that I take, but you need to ask yourself, am I touching the unclean? Am I unnecessarily exposing myself to things that defile my spirit? Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the book of Proverbs says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything there is in life comes out of your heart. If you have a pure heart, you will have a pure life. And if your heart is impure, your life will be impure. That's an unalterable law that governs all human conduct. And remember, what you put into your heart determines the course of your life. You cannot have the wrong thing in your heart and live right. And you cannot have the right thing in your heart and live wrong. So what you have in your heart determines the course of your life. I think when I was a teacher in Africa, in Kenya, I got interested in various African dialects, including one called Luragoli, which is spoken by the Maragoli people. And I was the principal of a college for training African teachers. And I don't know why, but I walked into the dormitory of some of the students, and in the Luragoli language, I saw Proverbs 4:23 up in their language. And it said, because their language is a little more simple, guard your heart with all your strength, for everything there is in life comes out of it. And I have never forgotten that. Everything there is in life comes out of your heart. If you want a good life, have a good heart. Have a pure heart. Have a clean heart. And if you defile yourself, ultimately you are the one that will suffer the most. Obeying the Bible, it's not really to be very pious, it's to have common sense, because it works. Then God says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God does not offer to be unconditionally father to anybody who wants it. He says, I'll be a father if you meet my conditions. And then Paul adds, therefore, at the beginning of chapter 7, and you've probably heard me say, some of you, if you find a therefore in the Bible, you need to ask what it's there for. And this therefore is because of the previous two verses. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, Let us cleanse ourselves. Some things God does for us, and some things we have to do for ourselves. Now, there are many aspects of holiness which only God can do. But here is something which it is our responsibility to do. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Filthiness of the flesh, I think most of us have a pretty clear idea of some of what's entailed by that. Sexual immorality, drunkenness, anger, swearing. But what about filthiness of the spirit? I'll tell you one thing that I think, that is, every form of contact with the occult is filthiness of the spirit. And many, many Christians today, often unknowingly, are involved in the occult. Many Christians read horoscopes. Is that right? Maybe not the ones here. But let me tell you that if you lived in Moses, in Israel, under the law of Moses, and you read horoscopes, you would have been put to death. That's God's estimate of it. I'm not going to go into a list of occult things, it's not my purpose. But I discovered in my own life that it took quite a lot of work on my part to eliminate the occult. For instance, at Cambridge, my main subject of study on which I wrote my fellowship dissertation was the philosophy of Plato. And many, many people admire Plato. You found many Christians. In fact, there's a form of Christianity called Neoplatonism. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So that's a responsibility placed on us. I could spend the rest of this evening talking about how to do it, but that's not my theme. My theme is we're responsible to do it. This is not something God will do for us. This is something He tells us to do for ourselves.